Now the book of Hebrews, chapter number 3 this morning. If you'll stand with me one last time, we'll read two or three verses, and we do that out of respect. The Bible said over in the Old Testament when the Word of God was read that the congregation stood, but they stood all day long, so we won't make you stand all day long. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all what you've done for us. Thank you for this day that we have been able to get up and breathe your air and enjoy the beautiful weather. And Father, yes, thank you, Lord, for even the snow and the rain. And I pray, God, that you'd open our hearts this today. Thank you, Lord, for the little children, how they blessed us. And Father, I pray that we might be a church that always reach out to our young folks, not only our youth, but those that have served and those that have stood the test of time. Bless our folks that have got a little age on them. Now I pray, Father, that you'd bless this message. May we say everything that need to be said. Guard our lips that we say nothing of vainglory. We'll thank in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Hold your Bible open. In fact, if you would, be turning back into the book of Genesis in chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 15. You don't need to turn there, but Matthew 15 says this: "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they that defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." For the last two Sundays, we've been preaching on the heart. The month of February I've designated as Heart Month. We have preached on the cure for a troubled heart out of John chapter 14. And then last Sunday we preached on how does your heart measure up, the whole heart. Today I want us to look at the evil heart. The Bible said that in verse number 12, he said, "Take heed, brethren, lest by any means of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God." I do believe that in the world we're living in today, we can see evidences of an evil heart. I think about all the mass killings and all the destruction and all the crime and all of what's going on. Every time you turn the news on, it's nothing but bad news. And we see that happening in our world today. The Lord Jesus said that one of the signs of his coming would be as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 26 and 27 says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Now with that thought in mind, let's go back to the book of Genesis and chapter number 6. I do not believe that the Lord would have us to be ignorant concerning his coming. And in fact, as he said, that as it was in Noah's day, it shall be in the day in which he comes. Now, I know in the Gospels that what he's talking about is the second coming of Christ. For you find that in the Gospels, those books were written primarily to the Jewish people. And they were looking for a literal kingdom. And so when you read the Gospels, keep in mind the church had not been birthed yet. It came about, I believe, that on the day of Pentecost, the church was in existence, and we don't know exactly the point in time, but the thing of it is we know that the church is alive and well. One of these days, the Lord is coming. But when he said in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, "As it was in Noah's day, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." That means that he's talking about the second coming. And we know from studying the Bible that the rapture of the saints is 7 years prior to that. So if we can see the things of Noah's day happening today, then by all means his coming is at the door. There are no signs for the rapture. There is nothing in the Bible that has to happen before the trump of God sounds and the dead are risen, the living are changed, and we're out of here. But if we go to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6, notice if you would please, as we read down through here, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible said in verse 5 of Genesis 6, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God said that in Noah's day that he had an evil heart. I want to give you 5 things this morning out of Genesis 6 that the Lord gave to me. Hopefully they'll be a help to you. First of all, they all start with the letter G if you want to write these down. The first thing I find is there was great wickedness. The Bible said in chapter 6 and verse number 5, there was great wickedness. Sin was rampant. It was accepted. There was no place for man to blush. No place for man to be embarrassed at his sinful actions. Sin was accepted in Noah's day. Sin was practiced in Noah's day. Sin was accepted in Noah's day. Morals and decency had failed by the wayside. If you look at verses 11 and verse 12 of chapter number 6, the Bible goes on to say this, that the earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. You see, by the time we get to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, things have changed dramatically. All forms of cruelty, all forms of injury toward other human beings was now being practiced. From what reading and research that I've been able to come up with, men had ceased to cover themselves and cover their nakedness by the time you get to chapter number 6. As it was in Adam's day, man had a conscience and he was guilty before God, wanting to cover his nakedness. By the time you get to chapter 6 of Genesis, man now flaunts his nakedness in the sight of God. By the time you get to chapter 6, now they're brazen and bold in their sinfulness. They flaunted their evil ways in the face of God. They began to make a mockery of the things of God. It was much like, I believe, in Lot's day. For the Bible said that it was in Lot's day. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Lot's day was a day that was perversiveness, sexual perversiveness of every sort, every kind that you could imagine. With us being in a mixed group and with young children, I'll not go into the gory details. But in Lot's day, it far stemmed beyond homosexuality. It stemmed into bestiality, necrophilia. It stemmed into the gutter of the sin and debauchery that man and his thoughts could come up with. And so it was in Noah's day. My friend, we look around and we see the same similarities in our world today. Did you ever think that you'd see in our world the acceptance of sexual perversiveness as you do today? Have you ever thought and see the things that man has come up with? His mind is continually thinking evil things and evil thoughts. All the thoughts of man's heart was evil. My friend, may I say to you this morning, regardless of what our administration in government says, God says that sexual perversiveness is a sin. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, honey, it not only just goes into the homosexual realm, but it goes into all forms of sexual realms. Beloved, in our world today, it is accepted. I've heard of some churches, if you want to call them that, that are now endorsing pornographic materials, alternate lifestyles. I've heard and seen where people reports of these types of things. And beloved, it is a crying shame that in our world today, as it was in Noah's day, it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. We are seeing the handwriting of God even today. He is saying, you put a stamp on Noah's day, it'll match what you're seeing in our day. Second of all, this morning, not only there was great wickedness, but there was the grieving of the heart of God. Look in chapter 6 and verse number 6. The Bible said, when the Lord looked down from heaven and saw the wickedness of man was great, that every imagination of his thoughts was evil, it repented the Lord in verse number 6 that he'd made man, and it grieved him at his heart. The heart of God was grieved when he looked down and saw a world given over to this kind of immorality, given over to this type of sin, given over to this type of perversiveness. It grieved his heart to see that the world had become such a cesspool. My friend, I believe it grieved his heart that day, but I wonder today how much his heart is grieved when he looks down from heaven and sees our world and sees our United States of America. I wonder how much his heart is grieved. We all were shocked and saddened, outraged over the innocent children that were killed just recently in Sandy Hook. Our nation will never be the same. Those that want to look and say the problem is with weapons and with firearms, my friend, they have missed the boat. It is not that inanimate object. The problem is the heart of man. The problem is an evil heart. You take, my friend, the same day that Sandy Hook and those children were gunned down, the same day in China, a madman went into a school and killed 33 children with a knife in China, but not much is said of that. But the heart of man is ungodly, is evil. And my friend, we get upset over the killing of those innocent children, and rightly so, and memorials have been set up and flowers have been sent and monuments have been erected and people have cried and wept. But may I tell you this morning that we don't get upset over Roe versus Wade and the legalized murder of innocent babies that happen every day across America. Every 26 seconds a baby is aborted in America. 137 every hour, 3,304 every day, 23,196 every week, 100,516 every month, 1,206,192 every year in the United States alone. Since 1973, 54,559,615 innocent babies have been killed. By the way, I don't know what side of the fence you're on, but abortion is murder. The Bible said that God said, I knew you in the womb. And I believe, my friend, that life begins at the moment of conception. Amen. These doctors today that kill these innocent babies, they will stand before God with blood dripping from their hands. But as our holy and a righteous God looks down on our country today, we get all outraged over 26 children snuffed out. They'll never live to see graduation. But what about the 54 million that have been snuffed out? God's patience wore out on this crowd. God's patience right here. How many of you believe this book? God's patience wore out. He said it grieved the heart of God. It repented the Lord. He said in verse 7, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. Honey, his patience wore out. And I believe his patience is wearing thin. In America, across our world today, it grieves the heart of God. Number 3, notice the third thing, the grace of Noah. in chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I like that. Hey, in Noah's day, they were jerking their clothes off. They were committing all kind of sin. But thank God there was one man, and he said, hey, as for me and my house, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but we will serve God. We're going to dress like it, act like it, or behave like it. He didn't have that book you have. But that was the grace that God gave unto Noah. Thank God that he was a man that had enough gumption, had enough grit about him, that would say, hey, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what the world is doing. I'm going to serve God. Boy, that was weak. You see, let's all be honest. Y'all heard about peer pressure in school? But it's peer pressure today. Everywhere you turn, we want to fit in. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be the oddball. You sit down with a crowd at lunch and the rest of them never ask the blessing, guess what? You don't want to stand out. But I thank God there was a man like Noah that said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm glad, my friend, that he came to a point and said he didn't take a census. He didn't take a family vote. He said, hey, we're going to build this ark. We're going to get ready for the judgment of God. And thank God that he did. I'm glad that he was ready when God's judgment came. When it all was finished, God called to him from inside the ark and said, Noah, get on board. One day, I've never heard the voice of God, but one day I will. One day I'll hear the voice from heaven. I'll hear him say, come home, my child, and I'll drop this robe of flesh. I'll rise and seize the everlasting prize, and I'll be out of here. The third of all, fourth of all, notice in chapter 6, verse 4, quickly this morning there was giants in the land. This stumped some people. I've read different ones, different theologians. I don't stump me. In verse number 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. You say, preacher, you really believe there were giants? Oh yeah, they were big old rascals. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which of old men of renown. Some people interpret this in the sons of God and the daughters of men. They interpret the sons of God as being angelic beings that cohabitated with women down here on this earth and produced a mutant society of giants. No. For the Bible said that angels neither marry nor given in marriage. Angels are sexless beings. Amen. Every time that you find a reference to an angel in the Bible, it's masculine. Amen. By the way, they don't float around with wings and everything. But angels are sexless beings. There are the same number of angels today as there were the day that God created them. They are a created being. They do nothing. They know nothing of Scripture as far as being saved. They cannot be saved. They, my friend, are sexless beings. So what does he mean here? There are giants in the land. Because there was a godly line of Seth and the ungodly line of Cain, and they began to intermarry. The saved and the lost began to intermarry. And God said they produced these giants of a man, this ungodly society. May I go on record and say that God says, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And he said, I will receive you. Hey, I got news for you. Saved people ought to date and marry saved folk. Amen. Now, I may be a hard pill to swallow, but nowhere in the Bible, and you're headed for trouble, you're headed for God's judgment, it'll never work. Are saved and lost. You say, oh, preacher, we love one another. Well, until both are saved, it'll never work. My friend here, he said, there was the godly and the ungodly. Fifth of all. And this is where I wanted to get to, and we're done. Notice God's judgment. The world before God's judgment started off with peace and harmony. The world before God's judgment, peace and tranquility. But my friend, when the devil came in, he messed the world up. And my friend, he will cause confusion, and he'll mess up everything you got as well. Oh, listen, the way of escape. How did these people that believe God, how did they escape the judgment of God? God said to Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark for the saving of your household. And by the way, anybody else that wanted to get on it, 475 feet long, 45 feet wide, 75 feet high, it could accommodate all mankind, all the animals, and still have room to spare. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. There'll never be a day when God's grace runs out and you come to say, Lord, can I get into heaven? No, we're slam full. Now watch something. Notice what God said to make it out of. God spoke unto Noah, and he said in verse number 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Now watch this, I'm going to close. And thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Pitch. Y'all know what pitch is, don't you? It's a form of tar. It's a waterproofing. And so when Noah built that ark, God said, I want you to cover the ark with pitch. The word pitch there in Genesis is the same word in the New Testament as atonement. It is the blood. He said, I want you, once you get that ark built, cover with the blood. And then when you get inside, you're inside the ark of safety, and the blood is covering you. Amen. When the judgment of God will come, when the judgment of God begins to fall, I'm covered by the blood. God told us in chapter 7, verse 11, the fountains of the deep are broken up. Let me give you this real quickly. We often think about, and we see the little raindrops falling down, Noah's ark, 40 days and 40 nights, and the rain fell. Yes, the rain did fall for 40 days and 40 nights. But my friend, according to chapter 7, verse 11, that the fountains of the deep, the earth underwent a tremendous groaning. It split. Water came from beneath. Water came from above. The firmament was broken up. A huge deluge of water. I'm talking about millions and millions and millions of gallons at one time. My friend, listen, if it had just started sprinkling, just started raining, everybody run to the mountains. No, sir. When that water fell, it came fast. It came swift. It came with destruction. And the same way it will be with the judgment of God. It will be swift. It'll be fast. It'll be deadly, because those left behind will endure the judgment of God. We're living in a generation that has an evil heart. Get prepared. God's judgment is on the way.